This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community. 10, 9, 8.
The following program is a show intended for an adult audience. Our discussions are of a sexual nature and may contain coarse language and references to drugs.
Change the scheme, alter the mood. Electrify the boys and girls, if you'd be so kind.
Request level 1 satellite visual surveillance.
NSA Eagle Eye 1 track set, reassignment protocol for...
Do bad things with you.
You're with Dean Beck on Hide and Seek.
Good evening and welcome to Hide and Seek, your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. And I am Andy the Apprentice. Dean is, of course, away hobnobbing with Bishop Gene Robinson.
I think we can use the word sycophant.
Anyway, who's that talking? Anyway, we are joined. I'm joined this evening by Arvi. Welcome to Hide and Seek.
Thank you very much.
You've been a guest a few times.
I have. I'm well versed in stepping in Dean's shoes, so to speak.
You're doing that right across the week, aren't you? Because he's just hobnobbing with Bishop Gene.
He is. Yes, he's getting religion, so to speak. So he's spending the week with the bishop. There is an innuendo one could make about bishops and bashing them, I imagine, but I'm not going to because I'm highbrow.
Exactly. It's not worth doing that. Very bad of you to do so. Of course, it is your show for exploring sexuality and self. I've got to get that right tonight.
Ooh, what are you doing? look, pushing the wrong buttons clearly.
pay attention.
We do want to know, because Andrew is the apprentice and I don't have a moniker.
That's right.
So if you can think of what I am, Avi the something.
I won't call you Avi the asshole by the end of the show.
No, I'll cop to that, actually. You know, that's pretty accurate.
It's pretty accurate.
Yeah, you know, if the shoe fits.
Yeah.
If the shoehorn fits. Never mind.
On tonight's program, we're going to be talking with Brian Andy.
Yes.
Of course, many Joy listener would know that he is one half of the Lefty Pinkos team. Also, previously was ran a show called Black and Pink here on Joy for a couple of years. And we're going to be talking to him generally about, it is National Reconciliation Week. Sorry Day was earlier this week. We'll talk to him a bit about what's happening in the local Aboriginal communities in regards, and also in particular, I know he's a co-convener of Out Black. So we'll talk to him all about all that stuff that's happening.
Indeed, we have our compassionate counsellor coming up, Mr. Fenton.
Mr. Fenton, Stu Fenton will be joining us a bit later tonight from 10 o'clock. And then we're hoping to, if he can make it here in time.
Because tonight is the opening of the Festival of Sex Work.
That is right, the Festival of Sex Work. And of course, Joy 94.9's very own Christian Vega, host of the extraordinary program, The Vixen Hour.
Yes, and then we decided, because this is the show for exploring sex, sexuality and self, we're going to call in a sex worker.
Yes.
Indeed.
So hopefully he'll be here in time. the Festival of Sex Work is kicking off. The reason he might be a bit late is the festival launch is happening right now at Hares and Hyenas, and the festival is running right across this weekend, ending up with the Red Umbrella Rally on Monday.
Indeed.
So, busy show.
Indeed, we just have to. I obviously have a soft spot. There I go with those innuendos again. For the lovely Ben Reithmiller, who's been in Chicago for the past week competing in the international Mr. Leather competition.
That's right. Of course, we were talking to Ben a couple of weeks ago before he headed off. And look, he did very well.
He did. And he has some very, very jealousy inducing photographs from Chicago. And he's going to be in store at our lovely sponsors, Man House, from 12 to 2 on Saturday.
That's right. A special in-store appearance.
Yes.
So 2 hours only.
Yes. He will be accepting guests.
He will be accepting guests. I'm going to have to drag out a throne from somewhere. Drag the throne over from the lead over to Man House.
It gives new meaning to the Iron Throne, though, doesn't it? But we need the Iron Throne to be brought
exactly
into Man House.
So, yes, check him out at congratulations to Ben at Man House on Saturday.
I also want to give a fantastic congratulations to Baz Papa, Mr. Wolf Club Sydney. He was also over in Chicago for IML. He made the top 20.
He did.
Yeah, Wolf. No, look, the photographs from IML were fantastic this year. I was very, very jealous of Ben, who managed to compete. I was ready in my bag. I'm not going to admit the fact that, you know, like a pregnant woman, I had a bad bag packed by the door just in case I was called up to compete, you know. But I am very, very proud of Ben and his achievements in Chicago.
Hide and seek.
It's your show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self.
The most diverse sound for the most diverse crowd. Joy 94.9.
That's right. You're on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9 with Andrew the Apprentice and Avi the... Have we come up with a name yet?
No, as yet undecided. You need to text in 0427-JOY-949 or email onair@joy.org.au.
Oh, there we go. Phone's going already.
There you go. You can call 1-300-JOY-949 and tell me exactly what you think I am.
We're joined in the studio by one of our joysters, Brian Andy. Welcome to Hide and Seek.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Not your first time in the room.
No, it's not. I'm pretty au fait with the old studios of Joy.
And, of course, you are currently running a... Lefty Pinkos. What's it all about?
Lefty Pinkos is, I guess, a... Lefty Pinkos is a term that used to be thrown at commies, at communists in the past. And it was actually a term that was quite derogatory in its tone and its intent. And so we thought, let's reclaim it instead of just, I guess, yeah, look at people who are on the left side of politics in a bit more favourable light. So Lefty Pinkos each week, every Tuesday at 8 p.m. if you want to tune in, if you haven't. We bring in a special guest from our community, someone that's left-leaning, someone that's a bit kind of an apolitical, activists, you know, black fellas. We bring them all in, have chats to them over the hour. Yeah.
And so it's a bit of banter, a bit of fun.
Yeah.
It's you know, people you know from around the place. Because, I mean, yourself, you're a community leader.
Oh, thanks, Andrew. Yeah, I guess I am.
you are co-convener of Outblack.
Yeah, I'm convener of Outblack, and I'd like to make it co-convener, actually, just to kind of bring in the ladies and the women a bit more into the fold. It's been going for about 16 years, and us blokes are tired. We also want to kind of just open things up in terms of bringing in women in to make sure that they're represented in what we do. And so, yeah, I'm the convener of Outblack.
So what does Outblack do?
Outblack's the longest-running Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander support group within the country. And so what we do is we kind of put on events. Most recently, though, everyone celebrated Idaho around the 17th of May. We actually took off out of town and went down to Gunditjmara country, which is western parts of Victoria, and had a camp getaway, we called it. Last year's event at NAIDOC, during NAIDOC week, we called it camp, because it was around, I guess, acknowledging the 40th anniversary of the tent embassy that mm-hmm. happened in Canberra, where Julia lost her shoe. We kind of did an event that week, and we raised funds, and we made a profit. So we said, let's get away, let's get out of town, let's have a camp getaway. And so we kind of treated our mob to a getaway, basically.
I do love the fact that you memorialise as a gay and lesbian group the loss of a shoe.
Yeah, well, it's sort of, it's like Cinderella or something. It's like, yeah, but no, I was actually up in Canberra during the loss of the shoe incident, and it was kind of hilarious how it panned out. And yeah, but we had NAIDOC Week's a national week every July, and Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander, we celebrate our culture, our heritage, our survival, and Outblack every year we put on an event for NAIDOC Week, and it's actually one of the biggest NAIDOC Week events in Victoria. So
really?
It's kind of like a queer event, but we're actually really proud that it's something that the Aboriginal community generally, like generally the mainstream Aboriginal, like the non-queer Aboriginal community, jump onto, like, and sort of celebrate and come along to and enjoy.
Because I've heard you talk before, and this is, you know, I'm talking several years ago when you were being interviewed, not on your own program, but another program, might have been the Saturday Magazine or something like mm-hmm. that, and you're talking about the acceptance, I guess, in a way of queer identity within the Aboriginal communities.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of it's always one of those questions that comes up, and some people don't know how to navigate that or bring it up. And I guess from my perspective, I'm Yorta Yorta, which is a mob on the Murray River north of Melbourne, on the Victorian New South Wales border. And I've experienced a fairly good acceptance of my sexuality. It's actually secondary to who I am as an Aboriginal person. My Aboriginality comes first within my community, and secondary to that is my sexuality. And so I kind of, my views or the way I feel about sexuality within my Aboriginal community, Yorta Yorta, I kind of feel as though, it's accepted. It's not part of who I am necessarily. It's all about the contribution you make to the community generally. And so, and that's sort of something, I guess, that extends to Melbourne too. We're quite accepted, whether you're gay, lesbian, bi, transgender. You kind of, your Aboriginality is primary to your identity, and that's what people take you on. The fact that you're sexually active with men or women or whatever is kind of secondary. So that's the kind of experience we have. But I do make a point that in places where Christianity or religion has been a big influence within the Aboriginal community, you find that people are more homophobic within those sites or within those communities. So Queensland, in parts of Central Australia, where missionary activity has been really, damaging to many Aboriginal communities and their heritage, you find that homophobia is often follows suit.
And so how does that travel? Do you do a lot of outreach to communities outside of your own? I mean, does OutBlack do that, for example?
Yeah.
How does that work?
OutBlack sort of, we're very much Victorian-based. Mm-hmm. We're based in Melbourne, and I guess the way I run it is, as a convener, is it's very much about, active participation and people, consensus building, we kind of have a concept. We run events. We do camp getaways. We do a range of different things. So, like, if people want something to happen, we just come together and say, who's going to make it happen? How are we going to make it happen? And we service the Victorian community. So for the camp getaway, we had people from Malmesbury up near Bendigo Way come down to join us. We had people from up Albury Way, sort of, on the road to Sydney, basically, in Victoria, come down and head across the state of Victoria to join us in, like, down Portland, Haywood Way. So, yeah, we kind of look after the whole state. We have members across Victoria, but we also have links to other groups in the country. Like, there's the, and I always get it wrong, it's the Mugulu or the Mulugu, I'm not sure. I've got to get my mouth around it. But from South Australia, there's a mob over that way, and they're Aboriginal and lesbian. Aboriginal gay and lesbian mob from South Australia. They're based in Adelaide, and they do a similar thing in service in South Australia. There's also groups in New South Wales, Queensland, Northern Territory, and I'm not sure about the West, though. I don't think there's anything in the West that I'm aware of.
So as a young gay and lesbian Aboriginal, as perhaps in Victoria or in South Australia, how do they discover groups like OutBlack? What's the outreach to back into the community, if you like?
It's kind of, it's very much, the blackfellas, we have something we call the Koori Grapevine, or in South Australia it's called the Nunga Grapevine. And it's basically like, Aboriginal people, we're born on an oral tradition. Mm-hmm. We don't have written sort of, text in anything that we do. We dance, we sing, we do rock art that sort of passes on our culture and heritage, but primarily we're all about, I guess, that oral tradition. And so we just yarn to each other about who's out there and stuff like that. And it's kind of interesting, as a convener out, like, you kind of get people come up to you and say, oh, so-and-so, little Johnny has come out to me and said that he's gay. And it's kind of, I just sort of say, well, unless little Johnny comes to me and says, I want to be part of OutBlack and I'm gay, I kind of, we don't sort of force people to come out and be involved with us. We just, like, we're there. And we have, like I said earlier, we have a fairly large presence in the Aboriginal community come NAIDOC time. So everybody comes to our events. And our events are pretty much like one of those things where, you can be who you want to be, really. Like, if you want to get dressed up in drag and perform on stage, you can. If you want to kiss a bloke as a man, you haven't done it, you know, in the year, you can kind of thing. It's sort of, there's not sort of, there's an acceptance of that kind of, I guess, you know, just be free with your sexuality and be open with it. And it's kind of, that's what we kind of want to do in basically creating a safe space for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people to express their sexuality, to express their gender identity, and to sort of be comfortable with that and have that celebrated and supported by people who don't identify as queer, but are there to kind of have a good time and support us in that process.
You're on Joy 94.9, Hide and Seek, your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self with Andrew the Apprentice with, and Arvi the question mark. Yes. And we are joined, of course, by Brian Andy of Lefty Pinkos. We'll be back very, very shortly.
Hi, this is Catherine Devaney. I know you've just got to run off and masturbate, but before you do, you're listening to Hide and Seek with Dean Beck and Andrew the Apprentice on Joy 94.9.
He is empty. You're on Joy 94.9, Hide and Seek with Andrew the Apprentice, and we still haven't got a name for you, Arvi.
No one cares enough, seriously.
0427 Joy 949 or email onair@joy.org.au.
I need a name.
You need a name.
Arvi the Panelist?
No.
No, we can do better than that, can't we, people?
We can.
If Andrew's the apprentice, I shall be the master.
Ooh. No, that doesn't work either. Brian,
I could be a Sith Lord. It's not sci-fi and Scream. Never mind. No. We are, of course, joined in the studio by Brian from Lefty Pinkos. I'm just moving on. Yep. Did you notice?
Yes.
No, let's explore this. Come on. I want to grill you guys now.
Oh. 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 I had a question coming out from the NAIDOC week, and you were saying that members of the Aboriginal community who are not queer get involved and that sort of thing. What is, as a young gay or lesbian person growing up in an Aboriginal community, what is life like? I mean, what is the impression, I suppose?
I guess, yeah, like, I mean, when you grow up in an Aboriginal community, you just get a sense of community. Like, it's really quite strong. I grew up at a place called Cummeragunja, which is on the New South Wales side of the Murray River. And it's a town of about, or it's a village, rather, about 150, 200 people, depends on what time of year it is. People come in and out during summer. But, you just get a really strong sense of community. Like, you can walk down the street and walk into a house, grab a cup of tea kind of thing, and, you know, you're related to a lot of the people that live in that community. And so I just grew up with a strong sense of community, and I think that I probably had camp tendencies as a child and when I was growing up and stuff. And so when I came out, it was fairly late in the piece of, I was about 24 when I came out to the community and to everybody. I think, you know, people weren't particularly fazed about that whole thing. I think maybe they knew I was gay in the way I kind of requested a cup of tea at the house. I don't know. But it was like, yeah, it's just, you know, there's a strong sense of community that I've found, or that I find living in an Aboriginal community. And, you know, and it's kind of interesting too, when you go from that small 150 people at Cummeragunja to a place like Melbourne, you find that within Melbourne, or you kind of look for that and you make that within the Aboriginal and broader Torres Strait Islander community that is in Melbourne. So,
well, I was going to ask, what was it like? When did you move to Melbourne from, I mean, how old were you?
Yeah, I was 18. I was 18. It was late 18. I finished school. I took a year off and worked in the community, and then I got a position at university and I moved to Melbourne to go to uni. So, yeah. So I was 18, yeah.
So it must be quite confronting. You'd travelled before this was, you know, you didn't just show up in Melbourne.
Yeah, no,
so I'd
actually,
people.
It's about 2.5 hours north of Melbourne, so where I grew up. So I did engage with, jump on the bus every now and then when I was 16 and come down to Melbourne and stuff. So I got a sense of the city. And, and also actually as a young child, we kind of grew up in Melbourne too. Like, so I kind of, you know, it wasn't enough to kind of get my head around Melbourne as a city, but I'm actually coming from such a small community and where everyone knows everybody. It's kind of nice to go to a city and just, I guess, be anonymous. I love cities. I've got this pure fascination with cities. Like, you know, whenever I travel anywhere, I go to the big cities, like, you know, America, it's New York, and, I just love a big city, for example. Yeah.
It must be, you know, as someone, if you grow up in a community of 150 to 200, you know everyone. Mm-hmm. You know, you can know everyone in that, yep, in that space. There must be something somewhat liberating about going, I can actually be anonymous.
Yeah, there is. I guess there is, like, anonymity in that. Like, there's a liberation, I guess. But, I mean, I think you do come back to a sense of wanting community too. So it's like, Yeah, you know, like cities are good in that respect. But because, yeah, like sometimes you feel quite bound by your, I guess, your identity as an Aboriginal person, like in terms of like, yeah, we know everybody, but there's so much more out there in the world, and it's kind of nice to, yeah, experience that anonymity, I guess. Yeah.
and as you said, it's quite nice then again to reconnect in a big city with your own community, so you mm-hmm. can recreate that sense of a village within a city.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like I guess, you know, like our experience as Aboriginal people is quite unique in this country, and so it's kind of nice to find solidarity with others in that respect, and so you look for that, you yearn for that, and if you come from that, that's what you want and that's what you know.
A lot of the health impacts that are currently occurring and have been occurring for quite a while amongst the communities mm-hmm. Has been a result of that disconnection that has occurred due to settlement.
Invasion, actually. Thanks, Andrew.
Okay, invasion. Fair enough.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Keep going.
No, no, and that is really the key to what's happened for the Aboriginal communities, mm. isn't it? That. Invasion,
yeah,
has disrupted the natural state of things.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, yeah, like earlier tonight, I was at this constitutional recognition forum that the City of Melbourne hosted, and I guess we're kind of grappling now with how do we recognise Aboriginal people in the Australian Constitution. And I've kind of, you know, my views are kind of fairly left in that sense, but
yeah. I'm shocked.
Yeah, no, totally. It's like totally they're left, but I guess just a fact, and something you won't hear at school, you won't sort of have talked about over cafe lattes in Bourke Street, but Australia is the only Commonwealth country that hasn't recognised the Aboriginal people as the, you know, as and their sovereign rights as the first peoples of this country. And so wherever the British invaded, or wherever they went rather, or settled in many cases, they actually settled through a process of treaty or recognition of those Indigenous peoples. I mean, you look at Aotearoa or New Zealand as an example of that. The Treaty of Waitangi allowed the British to sort of negotiate with the Maori people to say, hey, this is how we're going to use land, and these are the effects of our land use that they're going to have on your society or your politics or your systems. And so we don't have that here in Australia. And Aboriginal people in Australia have the lowest health indicators of any Indigenous people in the world. And that's kind of strange too, and quite alarming in the sense that we are one of the richest countries in the world. We have one of the richest women in the world. We have the poorest Indigenous people in terms of health indicators in the world. And it's kind of like, so there's this awful dichotomy that exists in this country. And a lot of that is correlates to the fact that Aboriginal people aren't recognised in terms of their sovereignty, in terms of their rights to land. We've just kind of been, you know, rounded up and placed on places like Cummeragunga or whatever. And so it's, that's a problem that the Australian government and the broader Australian society generally has to grapple with in terms of how do we ensure that Aboriginal people can enjoy equality. And that comes with recognising our inherent sovereign and our social rights and our cultural rights that pre-existed the invasion. And that's why I kind of pulled you up there, Andrew, too. It's
that's
like,
right.
It's like people say settled, and it's like, well, no, it's, you know, there's been no negotiation with Aboriginal people, so it's an invasion. And it will continue to be an invasion until we get constitutional recognition, or we get a treaty, or we get some kind of understanding of our position in this country and how that relates to non-Indigenous people.
What's your position? So within that context, therefore, do you personally believe that European Caucasians are occupying land?
Yeah, I guess, yeah, like it's an invasion. So if you want to call yourself invaders as a, you know, as a kind of, as a follower from that, that's what it is effectively. Like, I mean, yeah, like we have these possibilities or these kind of, we're bestowed with legislation like native title, mm-hmm. but that does nothing for Aboriginal people because native title is the lowest form of land tenure within the Australian land system. So it's kind of, yeah, you know, until, yeah, we're recognised as the first peoples, I will always continue to say, hey, no, sorry, Andrew, it's an invasion. And I guess, and as, you know, as that's the, if that's the framework we're talking in, then, you know, non-Indigenous people need to recognise that they are invaders or they're part of a system that has, that makes them invaders. So, yeah, I know it's hard to hear.
It is, and it is sometimes hard to conceptualise as well. But And I think we'll probably end up talking a bit more about this in a moment. But
I'd love to.
Yes. You are on Joy 94.9, Hide and Seek, your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. I haven't got that right yet.
No, let's
and sovereignty. Let's talk about sovereignty. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Sorry, everyone. They don't let me near radio very often.
Luckily, we've got... This is Joy World. Become a member of the two. Okay. Hello, this is Nath Valvo, everybody's favourite gay comedian that got fired from Joy FM. What, I can't say that?
Joy FM? Hello, Joy, how long were you here for?
Okay, sorry, here we go.
About 2 hours.
You are on Joy 94.9. This is Hide and Seek, your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. See, I can't do it.
No.
You're with Andrew the Apprentice, and thanks to an anonymous donator of a text in on 0427-JOY-949. For the rest of the show, I'm Avi Warbanger. I quite like that one.
Yeah, it's not too bad. I just want to know what glory holes you've been up to know which walls have you been banging.
Well, the whole point of a glory hole, Andrew, is that you don't bang the wall. There is a hole anywhere. I can't believe I'm explaining
gold.
The
this
physics
is gold.
of how you know you're not a word for word anymore, kids. Toto, I don't think we're on Sunday morning anymore. Good Lord.
you are, of course, on Hide and Seek. Brian Andy is joining us tonight. It is, it's been National Reconciliation Week this week. Sorry Day was earlier on Tuesday.
Sunday, May 26th was Sorry Day. And Reconciliation Week always starts on May 27. And man, it's been tumultuous this week.
So what's been happening for you?
Well, I've kind of just been reeling at the racism that's out there.
Of course, there was the AFL situation.
Yeah, like I guess it started with that young girl, abusing Adam Goods, and I'm not big on football, so I kind of can't pronounce their names correctly. But yeah, Adam Goods was, racially vilified from a spectator at a game. Eddie McGuire came out and sort of did the whole apology thing, and then he kind of made a racist remark himself and has been backpedaling in that respect since yesterday. And it's kind of like, what the hell? It's National Reconciliation Week. Can't we get our head around treating each other with respect?
It's interesting that hasn't... Apart from the fact that it is... It's interesting that the AFL frame the Indigenous round at the beginning of National Reconciliation Week, but then saying that, it doesn't... I can't recall it being... It is Indigenous round because it is
National Reconciliation Week, yeah, and it's about their kind of, nodding to that particular... We need to celebrate, acknowledge... the contribution that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people make in our society at large, but also on the football field. Mm. So they bring in Richmond and Essendon, so the field is aflush with red, black and yellow, the Aboriginal colours. And it's just, and you kind of get that, the day before that particular round on the Saturday and before this big half-time entertainment hoo-ha featuring beautiful Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander artists, you get this young 15-year-old girl calling Adam Goods a... I don't even want to go there, but it's like, what is wrong with us? And I guess, it's awful in one sense, but it's also, I guess, reminds us we need a National Reconciliation Week to kind of get through this stuff and to get over it and to kind of and raise it as an issue because it's something that's real and problematic.
And as somebody who is and will always be a spectator to this sort of thing, there's a difference between a 13-year-old girl who might not know better because she's only 13, and Eddie McGuire, who's been on air for many years. Mm. I am more inclined, and again, as a spectator, I'm more inclined to treat the girl with education and respect and say, you didn't know better, but we're going to teach you. I'm less inclined to give Eddie that kind of...
Yeah,
flexibility, if you like.
And that's what Adam Goods did. He kind of, said, let's not blame this girl. Let's not, let's look at it as a problem socially. Like, do we need more education? Do we need more understanding? Do we need more reconciliation? And he's actually taken that approach with her. And it's been a really it'd be an awfully hard thing to do as an Aboriginal person to do that. And he did it with, kind of vigor, responsibility, and a sense of, I guess, forgiveness. And, I don't think you can apply that same stuff to, or that same kind of frame of mind to Eddie McGuire, because he does, occupy that position of power in the media and that position of leadership, for want of a better word, in relation to him. And so, yeah, it's totally problematic, and it's National Reconciliation Week.
How when you're talking to people from your community, Aboriginal communities, how bad is it?
It's, well, I mean, well,
how
I guess...
How bad is racism?
Racism, it's sort of something that you experience, I'd probably argue, weekly, if not daily in some respects. It depends on where you are. Like, it does affect you, and it does, you know, I mean, we talked earlier about health indicators and how Aboriginal people have the lowest, I guess, the most disadvantaged health indicators in our country. Racism contributes to that. If you look at issues like mental health or, I guess, heart disease and stroke and whatnot, the kind of stress that you have to live with as an Aboriginal person, it's very, very demanding. And, you know, it's Reconciliation Week, and I kind of have thought this week, I wish it was just National Hibernation Week. I could just crawl up into my flannelette-covered bed and just sleep for the week, because it's like I don't want to have to go out there and feel the obligation to hug non-Indigenous people or talk about my experience or say this is what's happened to me. And it's very, very stressful, that kind of stuff. And when you kind of get to a point in 2013 and see that Ida McGuire can't take responsibility for these things, you kind of go, oh, God, you feel so demoralised. And it does affect you. It does affect your health in the sense of stress. Where's the relief? It makes you more anxious. And so, yeah, it... Yeah,
and you probably have to do double duty as well, because not only in National Reconciliation Week are you saying this is the experience of an Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander in Australian community, but you're also taking this is the experience of a gay Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander in the Australian community.
Exactly. I mean, we acknowledge and we kind of, we kind of look at and we say that within the queer community there, like, you know, we kind of suffer from depression and anxiety and substance use and abuse and all of those issues that are that relate to being queer, and why do people do that? Like, the health indicators that relate to that, it compounds with Aboriginal people, I think. It's a similar thing.
Same thing.
Yeah, same thing.
And it's what I find, I've only been out for about 10 years or so.
Bless. That's why he's still the apprentice,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, exactly. the more I learn about the our GLBTI communities, and the more I learn about Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities, the more parallels I can see between the communities.
Yeah, there are strong parallels there. And one thing that kind of just gobsmacks me is, I guess, that something that's been termed discrimination under the rainbow. Like, when you go online to, say, Grindr or Scruff or Gator, if you're retro, you kind of see people say things like, you know, no Asians or no Indians or no black males. And it's kind of like, whoa, you know, you're vilified as a person because you're queer. Why are you doing this to other people in the community? And it's sort of like that. It's something that we don't often talk about within the queer community, is that kind of discrimination under the rainbow. We expect and we fight for human rights generally, but we also don't extend that often. And when we do, I mean, like, when we sort of see that kind of stuff, how do we counter that as a community? You know, there's some aspects where we do in terms of sort of pull people up, but those sort of, I guess those profiles are still out there, that people kind of think that way, but they don't see the irony or the hypocrisy.
Yeah. And it's very much the same, you know, I'm obviously involved with the Enough campaign, and it's the same for, you know, when you look at HIV positive versus HIV negative people, the stigma associated with being positive in the gay community is quite strong. So there's this, this, you know, we use the phrase internalized homophobia, but I don't know that that's always necessarily true. Because it's always, you know, the excuse, and I say that
quite, with inverted commas.
Sorry, I've got scare quotes going. Is that, that's just what I like. Mm-hmm. That's fine. You can have your preference. That doesn't bother me. But it's the way you phrase it. It's the way you frame it. It's the way you present yourself. I mean, it's that if you go back to the sort of the lower thing, it's this is your advert to the world. Yeah. You are trying to attract something, and the words and the imagery that you use is the advert for yourself. Yeah. And you really have to have a think about what you're advertising.
Well, I guess, and I always liken it to, if you've got the courage to wear that on a t-shirt, you should have the courage to, you know, like, if you've got the courage rather to put that on your profile, you should have the courage to wear that on a t-shirt, would you? You don't. So it's like, have a bit of sensitivity about the way you present yourself.
You're on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. We'll be back to chat to Brian Andy very shortly.
Hi, I'm Ben Reithmuller, Lead Leatherman 2012. It doesn't matter if you're totally passive like Dean or a passive-aggressive like Andrew, tune in to Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9.
Yeah, that's right, you're on Joy 94.9, Hide and Seek with Andrew the Apprentice and RV Wallbanger, apparently.
Ben knows you so well, Andrew. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're joined, of course, by Brian Andy of Lefty Pinkos. God, we're going to have to wrap it up. We've been chatting for an hour.
Time's finally having fun, isn't it?
I know.
Yeah.
We were up to
the doldrums of Reconciliation Week 2013.
Exactly.
What is the rest of the year look like for you?
Good. NAIDOC Week is going to be pretty damn deadly because Out Black have an event on Friday the 12th of July. So if you're kind of, if you've never been to an Out Black gig, I do encourage people to come along. It's not just a black thing.
Everyone's welcome.
Yeah, everyone's welcome. So, I mean, and you kind of get a nice sense of, I guess, you will feel the love we do feel at our events in the sense that, you know, kind of there are a lot of straight people there that come along and just want to support us and want to have fun with us and want to acknowledge that we're part of the community. And I mean, yeah, Out Black, we have about 60 to 70 queer identified people within our group from across the state. And we have our events are about 400 people, so the rest of the kind of crew are a lot of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who are not queer, but also we have a lot of queer non-Indigenous people come along, and also a lot of non-Indigenous straight people come along and hang out with us.
So, what do your events? What do they entail? I mean, what happens?
We kind of we basically our stage we dedicate it to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, so it's kind of we're quite strict about that, mm-hmm. And just to queer people also. So we present drag queens, drag kings, musicians, singers, songwriters, dancers, pretty much performers generally. So this year we've got a few drag queens. We're still looking for drag kings. We've got one of the Circus Oz performers who is developing a show with Circus Oz right now. They're actually committed to doing something for us, so it should be some kind of circusy kind of act of some sort. So we kind of like to mix it up and just see what's out there, and we present a really nice show. We have fun DJs and just the biggest mob of people having fun and celebrating NAIDOC Week.
So how do you find out about Out Black?
We've got a presence on Facebook, and we've got this we need a webmaster, actually. Can I just put it out there? We need somebody to help us with our online stuff. We've got a outblack.com.au domain name, but address rather, and it's been pretty static for about a year. Just putting it out there. But we kind of do a lot of stuff on Facebook. So if you just search Out Black, OUTBLACK on Facebook, you'll find us down. And yeah, one of those groups that you can sort of check what we're up to, or you can ask to become a member and we'll kind of say yay or nay.
And what happens, does Out Black meet regularly through the year outside of NAIDOC Week and stuff like that?
Yeah, we pretty much just run in the sense of like if we've got something to do, like the camp getaway, we kind of met for about 3 months prior to that, and you know, maybe once every fortnight we just sort of go to Hares and Hyenas and just sort of have a cup of coffee and have a bit of a chat about what we want to do. Mm-hmm. The same goes with our NAIDOC events and any other events we're up to. We just sort of call a meeting, people come along. We have about 6 or 7 people come along as a regular kind of mob, but as we kind of build up toward an event, we'll kind of, you know, we kind of get a lot more people involved with what we do. And yeah, our camp getaway we had 20 people go along and to the event, but like I said, our events for NAIDOC Week, we number up to 400 people.
That's amazing.
So we can find out more about your NAIDOC events coming up on your Facebook page.
We'll definitely sort of get a CSA on Joy. And we'll kind of let people know with posters and stuff around the community at different queer spaces. But yeah, it's Friday the 12th of July. We're still going to secure a venue. But
so if you have a venue out there that you'd like to host, fantastic too.
If you've got a venue and you want to kind of host Out Black this year, we do bring in that kind of crowd. We don't like to pay for our venues, but we do have considerations like, you know, accessibility, because we do like to invite elders and other people in the community to ensure that they can get in with, relative ease.
And, of course, another great way to keep involved and keep up to date about what's happening with NAIDOC is to listen to you every week on Lefty Pinkos, 8 o'clock every Tuesday night. Radiothon next week. You got a big show planned, have you?
We do. We've got Sally Goldner coming in to talk about that particular issue I was talking about earlier, discrimination under the rainbow, and how, we kind of, you know, whether there's acceptance and stuff. We've looked into lateral violence as an issue in the past, and we're kind of going to get into that next week during Radiothon week. And we're going to get lots of new subscribers as part of Lefty Pinkers, I can tell you that much.
Yay! Brian, Andy, thank you so much for joining us tonight. It's been a pleasure.
Yes.
And you are, of course, on a hide and seek on Joy 94.9 with Andrew the Apprentice and Avi
Wallbanger. I like that one.
Yeah, okay.
So, how do you like it?
Hide and seek.
Hide and seek, sponsored by Manhouse. No matter how you like it, check out manhouse.com.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.